Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I have a great episode for you today, but before we dive into it, I need you to do me a favor. It would mean the world to me. If you haven't left a written review for my podcast on iTunes yet, I would sincerely appreciate it, especially if my podcast has helped you in any way. Recently, another fitness professional told people to leave negative reviews on my podcast. And I had never gotten any negative reviews before, and all of a sudden getting these one stars and people saying that my information is dangerous, which is obviously not the nicest thing for me to hear. So if you wouldn't mind leaving a written review on iTunes, it would mean the world to me, and it would actually help the podcast a lot. With all of that said, this episode, I speak with Inner Circle member Christy. And it was a wonderful episode. She's absolutely amazing. And we talk about a lot, not least of which about how to improve her relationship with food. One of the issues she brings up early on in the podcast is how she's been struggling with picking and snacking with food at dinner. But later on, we found out that that really wasn't the issue. The issue wasn't the fact that she's picking at dinner. The issue is the fact that she's trying to eat way too few calories during the day. So listen to this episode. If you're a fitness enthusiast, if you're trying to lose weight or to improve your relationship with food, this is going to be very, very helpful for you in terms of a mindset and strategy standpoint. And if you're a coach working with clients who are struggling with this, pay attention to how I structure the conversation. It's very important to see how I use leading questions to help Christy come up with the answer on her own, because if we only focused on what we spoke about at the very beginning of the episode, which was picking with foods at dinner, we wouldn't have gotten to the actual root of the issue. So with that being said, please leave a five-star review on iTunes with a written review. Those really do help a lot. And let's get into the episode.
Jordan.
Ah, there you are. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. There is no need to be nervous. I'm a short, bald, nerdy dude. I just like lifting heavy weights. We're going to have a great conversation, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
How's your day going?
Not too bad. It was pretty, not too busy, but not too light. So somewhere in between.
Okay. So pretty moderate day.
Yeah.
Not so busy that it's overwhelming, but not so boring that the day just drags on forever.
Yeah. Those are the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. The ones where it's, I would rather it be overwhelming and over quickly than like so boring that it feels like a year long day.
I totally agree.
So talk to me. Tell me what's going on, how I can help. Let's have a good conversation.
Okay. So basically I reached out to you just pretty much regarding like my nutrition and the problems that I'm having towards that. Like working out for me is not an issue whatsoever. I'm like 100% consistent with the working out, like no problem whatsoever. But like I always just find myself like overeating at dinner, and just like I'll portion out my plate perfectly for dinner and everything, and then I just go and reach for like whatever's left on my husband's plate or whatever's left on my kid's plate. So I always have like, I guess, like an overeating, I wouldn't say like binging, and I think that's kind of what I emailed you about. Like I wouldn't consider it binging, but I definitely like at dinner specifically always need that like full like comfort feeling.
Okay. So like as in, do you feel like it's like an uncontrolled type of eating, or it's more just like you like to feel full before you get up from the dinner table?
It's definitely controlled, because I have, so like more recently I will like announce to my husband pretty much like when we're sitting down to eat, like I am absolutely not going to eat anything off of your plate or the kids' plates or anything like that. Like I'm just eating what I have, everything, you know, I've been counting calories again. And like, so I know everything is what it is on my plate. But I think it's just maybe like a in my head that like I'm not satisfied until I feel like full.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. And the other thing that, and I don't know yet, like we're still like, I'm still getting to know you and everything. But the other thing that makes me think it's not necessarily a binge is oftentimes binging is really done like alone, right? It's like you're going to be eating so much in such huge quantities that like it's people are often embarrassed by it. So they'll do it when they're alone, later at night when people are asleep. So if you're just doing it while you're at the table, it might just be more of like, all right, I'm just going to keep picking. Is that more what you think it is?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so is that the biggest thing?
It's not that, like...
Sorry, keep going.
Sorry. I was going to say, it's not like I don't eat anything throughout the day. Like, I'm eating a big breakfast, a big lunch. So I don't know what it is with, like, dinner and just, like, I just can't, I don't know. I can't walk away from the dinner table without, like, having that full, like, I don't know, giant meal.
Is there like some type of a fear or anxiety while you're at the table?
I don't think so. Like, I don't feel like I have to finish everything, but I do say that I hate wasting food.
Okay.
So like, yep. I don't like throwing things out, especially like if it's not enough to save for a whole meal. Like, I hate, I don't know. It's just something that like stuck with me, I guess, from growing up or whatever. I just don't like throwing things away. It's like such a waste of money to me.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I hate that as well. I am with you 100% on that. Do me a favor. Before we're going to dive into this, but before we do, just like give me an outline of what your goal is, like, or goals. Like, what do you want to achieve right now with your health and fitness? I know you said you're good with your training, but with nutrition, body composition, like relationship with food, just give me a walkthrough of what do you want to achieve or improve on?
Well, I definitely am looking to lose weight still. I just finished the Unicorn Strong Challenge on Friday and I was down 10 pounds.
Wow. Awesome. Let's go. That's amazing.
And like that pace is actually like, it's very sustainable for me. I think from what I've done in the past, it kind of is messing with my brain.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
I have two kids, they're 5 and 3. So after I had my daughter, it was literally like 2 months after I had my daughter, we went on this, my husband and I went on this crazy program. I won't throw out the name or whatever, but it was basically eating like 900 to 1,000 calories a day, that you were eating five of like these bars or shakes or whatever, and they were about 100 calories each. Yeah, so you're eating like 500 calories of that, and then you could have like a lean and green, it was called. So it's basically like a keto diet, and you would eat like your vegetables and your like lean protein, whatever. So that would, like, depending on that meal is how much calories you had that day.
Well, that sounds like a very unenjoyable program.
It was.
How long did you do it for?
We did it for about 6 months.
Shut up.
Like the last month. Yeah, I know. It was, I don't know how we like did it, but I think just because we saw the weight coming off so quickly that we were like, oh, this is it. Like, this is, we found it. We found the thing that's going to like save us or whatever. But we ended up like going on a bender for like the next year after that, because it was so restrictive. It was so bad.
Wow. So you did it for about 6 months, and then for the year after, it was just basically like going completely back in the other direction.
Yeah. Like, oh, you want fast food? Sure. You want pizza? Sure.
Got it.
Like,
got it.
Every
okay.
meal. Yeah.
And how much weight did you lose on the completely unsustainable, very restrictive program?
It was about 35 to 40 pounds. I can't remember exactly.
Okay. And did you gain it back once it was over?
Most of it. I kept off about 20 pounds
okay.
from that.
Yeah. Okay. And so you said that you felt like you were a little bit warped, like mentally from that. Is that like because you lost so much weight so quickly?
I think so. And I think I just don't have a realistic view of like how paced out it really should be. Like this 10 pounds in the past 3 months, like, was not quick at all. It was very like pulling my teeth out kind of thing. Like I was like, oh my God, it's not working, but it was. And I just from what everything I've heard you say, just give it the 3 months, give it the 90 days and follow the program through. So I did.
Are you happy you did?
Yes, definitely.
Amazing. And you feel like the 10 pounds is a sustainable weight loss. Like it's not like overwhelming. It wasn't like outrageously difficult, but you feel like this is sustainable.
Yeah, definitely. And I wasn't like with that other program, I definitely felt like food anxiety because I couldn't have carbs because it was like the whole keto thing. And just like going out to eat was just didn't happen. And like family parties or anything like that was just so like there was so much anxiety behind it.
Yeah. Like you couldn't partake in any family events or parties or anything because you were on such a restrictive nutrition protocol.
Yeah. And then you feel like you're staring at everyone eating their food. And
Yeah.
So awkward. Like I would never in a million years do that program ever again.
That alone makes this entire past 90 days worth it to me. Just hearing you say that, like there's no reason to ever do one of those things again. It makes no sense. So I'm going to be honest, like it's funny. From the beginning you were talking about, and we're still going to go back to what you said you wanted to improve before, but it sounds like you've actually been doing very well. Like you've lost 10 pounds very sustainably over 90 days without completely restricting yourself. Like, have you been able to enjoy maybe some pizza or fast food over the 90 days?
So I'm from Long Island. And so like, there's no way you can live
right away.
Like you can't live on Long Island and not eat the pizza and like all the things. So I do, like I have at least once a week. Like we usually do pizza on Saturdays or like a Sunday we'll do it. Just depending on like our schedule and everything, but I definitely have been fitting in at least one like black circle day. Consistently.
This is amazing, Christy. Like when you really think about it, like you were able to include pizza in your nutrition without feeling guilty or getting anxious about it, and you've still lost 10 pounds very sustainably over the last 3 months. Like if I'm looking at that just objectively, that's really damn good progress.
I'd like have to stop comparing it to that other program I did because it's just, I'm like, yeah, but that but is in the back of my head. Like, but you lost this much weight on this other thing doing all of this crazy stuff.
Yeah. You're comparing two completely different things and you already know the first thing is quite frankly fucking stupid. Like,
yeah,
you know that you already know you would never do something like that again. You know that you had a lot of food anxiety, you had a lot of issues with food as a result of it, that you couldn't enjoy your favorite foods even in moderation, never mind like just at all. And now you have something that you can enjoy your favorite foods that isn't causing you anxiety, that is allowing you to see. It's not about how fast the progress is, right? This is super, super important. This is, and you might even, maybe you can relate to this with training because you said you're really good with training. You love training, like you don't need help with that. Imagine if someone did a really intense program for, I don't know, 21 days, whatever it is, a crazy training program, 21 days, you do 2-a-days every day, or, you know, we could do 75 hard, right? Like it's 75 hard is a very popular program, 75 days of doing 2-a-days every day. One of the common themes I've seen with people who've done that is then they stop as soon as those 75 days are over. It's like, then they don't
burn out.
It's like they burn out. So what that, like, cool. You can do something crazy difficult for a very short period of time and make a lot of progress in that very short period of time. But then if you can't sustain it, and then you lose all of the results and continue to go backward as a result of not being able to follow it. What's the point? Like P90X, it's one of the, I wrote an article on how dumb I think P90X is back in 2012.
And I've done that.
it's better than nothing, but like there's a lot of program design flaws with it. It's just, it's too much. It's the same thing with nutrition. Who cares how quickly you can lose weight? Like, number one, it's not a competition. Number two, literally no one else gives a fuck. Number three, if you're going to gain it back or not be able to sustain it, why does how quickly you lose matter?
I think my standard, that's myself and my standard, I think, because of what the standard was with what I did previously. So I just, in my head, have to stop comparing it to that.
Christy, stop comparing to something that's completely stupid. Like, and I can talk to you like this because you're from Long Island. And I know that's how we East Coasters speak to each other. Stop doing that stupid nonsense.
Oh, yeah. I need like a kick in the ass, pretty much.
Let's go. Come on. What are you doing? That's ridiculous. And it might be like literally you just needed this. Like you just need me to say stop being ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
You're actually, your actions and your progress is phenomenal. So you got to pay attention to that rather than comparing to something that was a really stupid design and did more harm than good.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think about that?
I think like from now on, like if I have a thought like this, I'm going to stop myself and just like clear my head from the thought and just say like, you're comparing your good progress to bad progress on an unsustainable program. Like, just stop.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Maybe, and you could even listen to this podcast over and over and over. Anytime you're feeling that way, just turn it on. You'll hear me say to you, or I'll record you a voice memo. Just be like, Christy, stop with this nonsense. And you can play that on repeat anytime. And like, it'll just be like, anytime you need that, you just play that voice memo over and over and over again.
Shut up.
Shut up. What is wrong with you? Stop being an idiot. Stop being an asshole to yourself. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're your own worst critic, like, for sure. Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Do you feel a little bit better with that, with having that headset, all of that, and moving forward from there?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a work in progress. Like, I'm going to have to really recognize when I'm having that moment and just like scream at myself. Bang my head against the wall. Like,
it's definitely going to be, I think we're all a constant work in progress. Like, we all have things we need to work on always. I think one thing that's important to remember is that just if you even just becoming aware of that moment, right, that in and of itself is progress, because before you can become aware of that moment, first you're just having that moment and you're being an asshole to yourself and you don't even know it and you feel bad and you're comparing and you're unconsciously being an asshole to yourself. But if you can then become conscious of when you're being an asshole to yourself, you can become consciously aware of it and sort of look at that moment from above. Well, as an outsider, as an objective viewer, that in and of itself is progress. The progress isn't only made when you stop being an asshole to yourself, because candidly, I don't think that will ever completely happen. I think we all have this little inner voice that is, for whatever reason, designed to pick us apart. I think that's in every human being. But and over time it can diminish, and over time you can reduce the volume of it and reduce how often that little voice turns up. But I think recognizing that progress is simply being aware of it when it's there, so then you can be objective with it and tell it to shut the fuck up. That in and of itself is progress, and that's part of the process of getting to that point.
Yeah, I definitely, like, I even noticed that just starting the Unicorn Strong Challenge, that I've been trying to become more aware of, like, my thoughts and just basically just more in tune with, like, my body in general, just how I'm feeling and just, like, my mindset at a certain time of whatever's going on. I actually was even thinking, like, maybe I should start journaling to, like, record things, like...
I love
that.
Something
I haven't done. Yeah.
I love that. Why not? I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's something like my next step is going to be that, I think.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I love that. So let me sort of come full circle now back to what we were talking about right at the beginning, where you were saying you feel like you just keep picking and eating at dinner.
Yeah.
Knowing now that you've been making very sustainable progress and that you've been able to enjoy your favorite foods and you've lost 10 pounds very sustainably in 90 days, now the question becomes, do you need to stop picking?
Well, I think that the calories that I've been following might be too low and maybe I should raise them up a little bit, but that scares me.
This is a wonderful discussion. Tell me more.
So I've been following, like, I know you do the calorie cycling, and I don't know why, like, it's really difficult for me. Like, I listened to a podcast you did with Paul Carter when he said he basically has his one, like, giant go all out cheat meal.
Yep.
So I kind of have that kind of concept. Like when we do our pizza night or whatever, I just go and have like my one big meal that I can feel like stuffed with and hate myself. and then like every, like the rest of the week I can stick with the, like I've been sticking with pretty much 12 to 1300 calories a day. I'm only 5'1". I'm just going to put that out there first. I'm only 5'1", so my goal weight was about 120. Yeah.
Okay.
So then I was thinking, like, do I need to raise my goal weight up to 130 to, like, get a little more calories in so that maybe I will stop picking at stuff at dinner?
So how much do you weigh right now, if you don't mind me asking?
I weighed in at 159 this morning.
Okay, cool. And you put your goal weight as 120?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's nothing wrong with that. But even if the goal weight is 120 multiplied by 12, that's 1440. So it's almost four. That's way more than you're already eating on a day-to-day basis, right?
Definitely.
So even if you keep the same goal weight at 120, you'll still be able to eat more. But yeah, then what's it? Let's say we make it 140. We do 140 times 12. That's 1680. You can be eating. It's so funny. Let's say, for example, that you've been picking after dinner, which no shit, you've been picking. You've been eating 1200 to 1300 calories. Of course you're picking. Like, and anyone would be picking. A parrot would be picking after that. Like, of course. Right? Like, it's not that many calories. So that makes sense. So what's probably been happening is you've been picking and maybe even feeling guilty about it when, funnily enough, you've still been in a calorie deficit the whole time, even though you're feeling guilty about it. So why don't we just increase your calories like you said, still be in a calorie deficit and no longer feel guilty about eating a very appropriate number of calories to begin with?
Yeah, I think that's a really good plan.
I just came up with it right now.
I do feel guilty because then like if I eat like the kids' chicken nuggets or something, I'm like, oh yeah, there you go. flushing progress down the drain.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're killing me, Christy. Yeah. You're doing great. You're killing me. You're doing wonderful. Now we just, your intuition is correct. I think you just needed to hear me say it. Like, increase your calories. You're eating way too low. And if you know, for anyone who's listening to that Paul Carter podcast, I was very open about how whatever works for Paul, like, I'm more than support that. In my experience working with everyday people, I found that approach doesn't work very well. Sometimes having like a cheat meal once a week can be a great option. But even let's say, Christy, you do that, you can still eat way more than you're eating right now. Like you could still eat in the 1500, 1600s, you could literally go up to 1700, 1800 calories and still be losing weight very sustainably.
That's just wild.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, that's
right?
Crazy. Yeah.
It goes against everything that we've been told and led to believe and all the crazy stuff that we've done to ourselves. Like, oh my God, I can actually lose weight and enjoy it. Like, that's crazy. Because most of the time we think of losing weight as just it sucks. And to be fair, losing weight does suck, especially relative to not losing weight, right? It's like, eating more calories is always more fun than eating fewer calories. That's just always like, of course, I would rather have enough calories to fit in another ice cream sandwich or to have a big thing of Cheez-Its. Like eating more calories is always more fun, but you can still lose weight very sustainably. Like it's so, you have so much extra room with your calories. Like let's add those back in rather than trying to needlessly suffer through.
Yeah, I've really been, I don't know why, just I guess from the challenge, like I was like, oh, let me just stick with the times 10 because I feel like you're I'll killing have better progress.
I told you not to do that. I literally wrote, no, I'm don't not. Do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So now you're not going to do that anymore, right?
No, I'm definitely increasing because
okay.
I don't want to be.
So how many calories are you going to eat on a day-to-day basis now?
Well, you said so for 120, if I do it times 12, it was like 1400.
1440. Yep. So 120 times 12 is 1440. And I'm not good at math. I'm using my calculator right now.
Don't ask me to add anything. I'm terrible at math. Also.
I'm terrible, terrible at math.
Oh my God. It's so funny. My son runs around the house like, oh, what's this plus this? And I'll answer. And my husband's like, no. So really don't ask me anything.
That's too funny. So
yeah, I think like between 14 and 15 or like 15, I don't know how much of a range I should do.
You know what, I know increasing calories it can be scary and nerve-wracking. So rather than going like to the complete opposite side of the spectrum and increasing them dramatically, let's start with a range of 1400 to 1600 calories. You are not allowed to go below 1400, and you're more than welcome to go above 1600 if you want. You could candidly be eating in the 1800s and be totally fine and still be in a deficit. But let's just start with a 1400 to 1600 range per day. Minimum 1400, and I'd like you to get more towards 1500 to 1600 on a regular basis. And one thing I'll be very interested to hear how you progress with is the snacking, right? Because if you are now quote unquote allowed to eat more, I'm very interested to see if the snacking will subside just naturally, simply because you're eating bigger portions.
I'm not going to lie, the 1400 scares me.
Good. I love that, because if you're not doing something that scares you, you're not getting better. And I'd rather you do it and be scared than to not do it and do the easier thing for you, which would be continuing to eat way too little and then eventually rebounding. So I'm very much like okay with putting you in this uncomfortable situation because it's going to make you better.
Yeah. And this actually scheduled at a good time because I just finished the unicorn challenge.
Yep.
And I kind of felt not bingey, but like I just feel like I need more food.
Yeah.
And you're right. Yeah.
You do. You 100% need more food. No question about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can definitely do that.
You feel good with all that?
Yeah, I'm going to, I don't know what I'll increase, but I'll increase something or add a snack in.
Yeah, have something you enjoy. Listen, so here's what I think. I think 80% of the things that you increase should just be taking the foods you already eat and eating more of them, right? So for example, if you have like half of a sweet potato, maybe make it a whole sweet potato, right? If you have like a bunch of veggies on your plate, like maybe have a little bit more vegetables. If you have 3 ounces of chicken, maybe make it 5 to 6 ounces of chicken. Just increase the portion size of what you're already eating for 80% of your nutrition. For 20% of your nutrition, for a few things throughout the week, add in an ice cream sandwich. Add in a cookie, whatever it is, add in something extra. I think this is where most people go wrong. When most people increase their calories 80% of what they do is having snacks and pizzas and pies and cakes and Pop-Tarts and donuts and Twinkies. And 20% of what they do is like adding in an extra half of a sweet potato. So I want you to do the opposite, which is 80% of the things that you add, of the calories added, should just be foods you already eat on a regular basis. 20% here and there, things that might be considered more of a treat.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. That helps a lot, actually.
Good. Yeah, it's simple stuff like this. It's simple stuff that it makes a lot of sense when we hear it, but often when we're like debating with that inner asshole to ourselves, it can take over and it can be really difficult. But what I want you to do is I want you to update me. And I want you to email me, let me know how it's going, and you have to make me a promise, okay?
Okay.
So you're going to go in the inner circle when we're done, and you're going to make a post in the Facebook group saying what we spoke about on our call. They'll hear it when we publish it, but you're going to make a post and you're going to outline exactly what you're going to do. You're going to eat between 1400 to 1600 calories on a daily basis. You're going to increase the portion sizes of what you're already eating. You're going to add in a few treats as well throughout the week. I want you to write your plan out in the Facebook group, and I want you to update that thread throughout the next 30 days. And I want you to email me at the end. I want you to tell me how you've progressed, how well you've stuck with it. I want you to use the consistency calendar in the Inner Circle application. Use that to track your consistency, specifically with 1400 to 1600 calories. So for 30 days, I want to see how consistent you are with 1400 to 1600 calories. And you have to promise me you're going to use a consistency calendar and update in that Inner Circle thread.
That I can do. I like the calendar a lot, especially in the app. It makes it so much easier. And I like that you can put notes in it.
I
put lots of notes in there. So that's easy. I could do that. And I can definitely create the post.
Okay. All right. So promise, don't make me come all the way back to Long Island.
I promise.
Amazing. Do you have any other questions? Is there anything that I can help you with?
I do have like two other kind of questions I wanted to ask.
Let's do it.
So the other food issue that I did want to talk about was, so at my job, so I work Tuesday to Saturday. So I'm only there like with the regular Monday to Friday people 4 days a week. And they get like catered lunch pretty much, I would say 4 out of 5 days a week. And I literally work like right across from where the break room is, where they bring in all the food. So I see everything and I have like anxiety about just seeing it, because I know like I have my salad, I have like whatever for my lunch, but just like the sight and the smell of having that food right there is just like torture. So I don't know if you had any like tips or anything for me to like try to not suffer so badly.
So what kind of food is it?
Oh, they bring in, it's usually like the same restaurants, but they'll have like Italian, they'll have like an Asian fusion, like sushi and a bunch of stuff. Like they really go all out. It's not like they're getting pizzas every day. They get like heroes and sandwiches and just a whole mess of stuff. Yeah, they get like Cuban food.
Yeah.
And there's like a bunch of trays. Like there's so much extra all the time. And I bring it home, but I'm like, I want to just stop and just not even like be near it at all.
Yeah, I get that. I mean,
it's really difficult.
This is what it's very difficult. Listen, I'm not gonna lie, like that is very difficult when you're surrounded by that and like you can smell it and other people are getting it and it's right in front of your face. I mean, it's a huge discussion among like fitness professionals, is, you know, one of the discussions you could call it is around something called food palatability. Like you have foods that are significantly more calorie dense that are much more palatable, right? They're easier to eat in larger quantities. It's very difficult for someone to eat broccoli in large quantities, right? That's not a very palatable food. But if you take, I don't know, like General Tso's chicken, yeah, you could eat a lot of General Tso's chicken very quickly. It's a very palatable food. So, and these things can lead to higher calorie consumption, which can then obviously lead to a lot of negative health outcomes if that is happens over time. Another reason, another issue is food accessibility, right? And so, I mean, one example of that is if someone has just like candy in their drawer in their desk, right? They've just got candy in their desk all day. Like, it's accessible. It's right there. So that one, obviously, people have a little bit more control over because they can decide if they're going to have that food in their desk or not. Another example of that would be like food in your pantry at home. Maybe you've got kids and like you want to have some treats for them. So that one can be a little bit more difficult because you don't have as much control over that because it's not just about you, it's about your family. And it can be difficult because it's very accessible. It's right there. And then this one, we have an even bigger one because you have literally zero control over what they do. Right, you have zero control over what foods they bring in, like how close it is to you, how amazing it smells. So there's zero control in that sense, and it's very accessible. It's right there. So I think what you're describing is a very difficult situation. So I'm not going to say like no, that's not difficult at all. It's very challenging. So let me ask you this: is there anything in there on a consistent basis that you're like, I'd really like to have that? Anything specific?
Like I love sushi. So when they bring the sushi stuff, I would grab like an appetizer. They have like a little appetizer because of COVID, everything's boxed up in individual things. So you could just grab stuff. So I have taken that before. And just like Italian food, like you could eat, you know, so much pasta and not be full. So, but I love pasta. So it's like a love-hate relationship. So, I mean, I could never say no, like Italian food. I love like all of it is like really, really good. If I do, like I have trying to be, stick to like, if they have salads, like I'll take the salads and they're like really good salads. Like they have like the like goat cheese or whatever with cranberry and walnuts or whatever, like I'll add it in with my lunch, with my salad. So it's like a fresh salad.
Oh, nice.
I have been doing that, but then I feel kind of guilty because I'm like, oh, well, it's takeout.
And what do you say to yourself when you start feeling guilty about something like that? What are you going to start saying now going forward?
Just to eat the damn salad.
Yeah, stop it with all the ridiculous nonsense. It's the thing I'm going to voice memo for you to play over and over and over again. You're feeling guilty about adding a salad to your salad?
Yeah, I have.
What is this? What is this? It's ridiculous.
It's funny because I make most of my food. So if I eat like something that someone else made, I guess I feel guilty.
All right. Enough of that nonsense.
From, like, a restaurant. Yeah, I know. It's like, that's the stupidest thing ever.
It's a very common struggle. And I think, you know, there are going to be a lot of people who relate to everything you're saying. And you just got to say enough with this nonsense, right? It's like, we've been conditioned in so many ways to feel guilty about it. And that's, you know, that's on one hand. So there is that. But now what do we do with it, right? Like a lot of people will say, oh, they'll just be, oh, diet culture, I've been conditioned to think this way. And they're not necessarily wrong. Like they're not wrong about that. But that's where they stop. And they use that as a justification not to improve just because of what's happened in the past. It's like, cool. Yes, this has happened. But now we know better. And now we know what to do. So moving forward, Christy, enough of the nonsense. And it's not just going to be over and done with like that. It is going to be difficult. There will continue to happen in the future, but it will diminish over time. And the better you get at recognizing when you're saying stuff like that to yourself and like, and feeling guilty about adding a fucking salad to your salad, the better you're going to get at recognizing it and just being able to enjoy it.
Yeah. Like I figured if I'm going to take anything, I'll take like the salad. So
yeah, take the salad or like what you said, where you get the sushi, you get a little sushi appetizer. Maybe you have one day a week where you just like you go and that on that one day you get whatever you want from, you don't make your lunch that day and you get whatever you want from there. Like that's totally fine. And I guarantee you it can fit in your calories. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, definitely.
Remember, the goal isn't to be 100% consistent. If you're always, if you're 100% consistent, you will not be able to sustain that forever. If you only make progress when you're 100% consistent, that progress will inherently be short term because you cannot be 100% consistent forever. The goal is to be 80% consistent. If you can be 80% consistent with your calories, you will be successful long term because then you can enjoy yourself. You can have your favorite foods. You can go to this hot bar and pick whatever you want from it without feeling guilty about it. So you have to take away this perfectionist mindset. Stop trying to be perfect and 100% consistent and really allow yourself, if you want to go in there just and have an amazing lunch, get some Italian food, get some pasta and enjoy it one or two times a week, that's totally fine.
Yeah, I'm just like a big asshole to myself, I guess, about it. Like I shouldn't be, but I am.
And now you know. And it's going to take time and practice to get better and improve, but now you're aware. And one of the best parts about having a conversation like this, that one of the reasons I love these conversations, as much as I love how much it helps other people who listen, is you will have this conversation forever. Like you personally. So you can always go back and listen to this and be reminded, okay, this is a behavior I need to fix. It's like a verbal diary, a verbal journal where you can now listen to what you say and become more aware of it. What's one of the best parts about journaling and writing things down is you can go back and see. This might even be better because you can hear yourself say it. It's very different when you hear yourself say these things. So I think moving forward, allow yourself to enjoy it. Stop trying to be so perfect and instead focus on being consistent and what promotes consistency, which is flexibility.
Yeah, there's always the factor of being scared to have the whatever, but I'm going to make it a goal that I'll have something once a week at least and I'll enjoy it.
I love that. I love that. You got to include that in the Facebook post.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Did you have another question?
Yeah, so it's not like for me, really. It's for my husband. I'm just trying to help him, guide him. So he was told he had some blood tests done and everything, and he was told that he has a fatty liver, and I know he has diabetes in his family. And he was trying to get started going, but he's convinced that he needs to do cardio to get started to build the momentum or something he says his mobility is terrible. And I think that's just where maybe he's comfortable starting, but I was trying to egg him on to do the Unicorn Strong Challenge. But he's just my mobility is terrible and I don't know. So just tips for someone, I guess, where should someone start if they're not comfortable with maybe a strength training program?
Yeah, that's a really wonderful question. So if mobility is a really big concern for him, which it is for many people, but especially men really, I say this a lot, but most men need to do more yoga and flexibility and most women need to do more strength training and lifting heavy weights. There is a mobility program in the Inner Circle, which you can just download for him. It's called the Maximum Mobility Blueprint. And it's actually when you log into the Inner Circle, it's on the left-hand side. So there are a number of manuals on the left-hand side, which we're actually going to be taking them down from the left-hand side and just putting them into the manuals tab. But if you go on, they're up there today. It's the Maximum Mobility Blueprint. There's also another one called just the Inner Circle Warm-Up. And it's a whole warm-up guide. And it's basically a choose-your-own-adventure warm-up guide with mobility and stability drills that he can do. And it's not neither of the mobility blueprint or the warm-up guide, they're not an intensive training program. It's not going to be overly difficult. It's not going to be very strenuous, but it is going to help him with his flexibility and his mobility. So I strongly recommend you download those from the Inner Circle portal and just give them to him. And if he wants to add some strength training on top of it, before he begins with the Unicorn Strong Challenge, which is it is a little bit more advanced, I would say give him the dumbbell-only workout program. It's available in the app, the dumbbell-only workout program. He can just do the three times a week if he wants. And the reason I like oftentimes people starting with that is it's the technique is easier than using a barbell, right? So with the Unicorn Strong Challenge, if you're using a barbell, it can be a little bit more advanced. It requires a little bit more mobility. Dumbbells are a little bit more easy to modify. And even if your mobility isn't where it needs to be, you can still do that program without worries.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely like the only workouts I do are at home anyway. I have like those Bowflex adjustable weights.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, I love them.
That's perfect. Yeah. So just have him do first and foremost the maximum mobility blueprint and or the warm up guide, which are both available. And then if he wants to add strength training on top of it, I wouldn't pressure him into it yet. Just get him, see if he can get working on his mobility a few times a week, 2 or 3 times a week would be great. And then from there, as he sees those results, maybe he'll then get more motivated to add in some strength training.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think he was like I used to be a cardio queen, so I feel like he's in that mindset, you know, like when people think, oh, I just need to be like a hamster and just run on a treadmill for an hour a day. Like, you'll lose weight, but it won't be fun.
It will suck. And again, yeah. when you lose weight solely relying on cardio, that is also unsustainable. Because eventually there will come a point in your life in which you can't sustain that amount of cardio. And that's why like cardio can be a tool to help with fat loss, but the driver of fat loss, the main component of fat loss, the biggest effect on fat loss is nutrition always.
Yeah, that's it. Like realizing that a few months ago, just from listening to your podcast has like changed my mindset a lot. Because like at first I was like, oh, if I get the workouts in, like way back when, I used to think, oh, I can eat as much as I want. But, now that I've educated myself a bit, I realize that's not true at all. So, like my nutrition is definitely something I've really need to, like get in check. So I'm really, really excited for everything that you went over with me.
I'm stoked. I'm very excited. Thank you for being very open and honest with me. And again, make that post in the inner circle. I'm going to check. So make sure you make that post and email me and update me with how you're doing. Okay.
Okay. I will.
Amazing. Christy, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Zayat Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Christy, thank you so much for coming on. Please keep me updated with how you're doing. And to everyone listening, if you enjoyed this podcast or any of my podcasts, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes with a written review. It would mean the world to me, and it really does help the podcast a lot. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.